Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Sound Health Options Show with Sherry Edwards and Richard Olson, brought to you this week by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, and this is the show for April 10th, 2011. Good morning, Sherry. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Spring has sprung. It's green air. I love it.
Wow. Finally. It seemed like it took a long time coming.
It did. I was fooled in early March.
We have the same thing here, although it's finally, we have a few more predicted random showers, theoretically, but we had some really nice weather, and then we had a week of really amazing rain, and now it looks like we're finally heading into what could be real spring.
I'm hoping it cleared all that radiation junk out for you.
Well, that's what I was thinking when we had all that rain when this first started happening, is that the purpose of the rain was to help get it out of at least airborne. We'll deal with the other parts once it gets into the earth, but out of the air would be really excellent. How is it going with the radiation rescue program? I suspect you're in data response and requests.
Absolutely we are, and for those of you who don't know about that, we're providing to the public radiation rescue software that Richard's been helping us test, and around the country, people have begun to send us information. We're putting charts together about this. You know, all the Geiger counters are totally off the shelf. You can't get one at Amazon. You can't get them anywhere. We do have Kristen Mundy that's going to be testing the Mueller pancake reader for gamma, alpha waves. And but if all the Geiger counters are not to be had anymore because everyone has bought them up, it looks like people are interested and they're scared and they want to do something to monitor all of this.
Well, that's one of the things I'm excited about the program. I mean, it's still scary. Sure. However, in the process of my working with you on the program, it's exciting because you can actually monitor yourself and your friends and your loved ones around you on a daily basis and see what's going on in your own area and in your own system. And then with the bioacoustic antidotes that come along on the chart in the manual, you can actually take things that will help your body work with what's going on, which is hugely empowering. I mean, it's a great piece of software. It's a brilliant piece of work.
Thank you. The chart that we did and released to people on the radiation show is ready. It's at the attorney right now. He's adding some legal ease, whatever. But we should be able to release that to people probably tomorrow. So if people wanted, I just posted where they could write to, or they could write to me at sherryonair@gmail.com, and I will send them the chart. I think I sent it to you, Richard, to look it over.
Yes, you did, yeah.
But it gives the competitors, so if you're bombarded with strontium, what does that tell you that you need to take more of because it is in competition with zinc or whatever other mineral? And it also tells you the nutrition antidotes, which you went through, right?
Yes, I did, yes. Every time I saw something come up, whether it was cesium or plutonium or whatever it was, as you were developing the chart, I would take the antidote, and then the next day or the following day, sometimes it would take 2 days to clear it, but it would, or I could watch it through the vocal print on the portion of the system called abacus. I could actually watch it in the graph kind of trail its way through my system and diminish.
With you got a bunch, and then it died off, and then you got a bunch more.
Correct. Yeah, that's what I thought too.
But you went through heavy detox, it sounds like.
It seems like I went through heavy detox, that's right. And if that's what it takes, okay, then it's heavy detox. But to be able to observe it on a daily basis myself was really huge, and to work with a few other people and show it to them and know what they could be taking to help counteract that was really a powerful, positive thing. I'm really
pleased. I'll give people an example, and then we've got to move on to our guests. Like cesium 137, which came out first, its antidote is vitamin D3, the cholecalciferol, and its competitor is asparaginase, which you get from asparagus, and it just helps your body detox, free radicals and bad stuff. So that's the chart that's going to be available probably this afternoon. So if any of you want that, just please get in touch.
Okay, so now we should jump right in, and today we have an amazing guest, an interview Sherry did just recently with Jonathan Wright. Would you like to do a little bit more of an intro with Jonathan?
I've known him for years. He's a sweetie. We have trained one of his staff members to do bioacoustics, and I absolutely was floored about what he said on his interview. He's one of the good guys.
He's a great guy. He wrote one of my favorite books ever, which is Stomach Acid is Good for You. not a book a lot of people have on their nightstand, but I've had it on my nightstand for years. It's a great read. Okay, so any other announcements, or shall we go right into the interview?
Yes, let's do that. Interview.
I think we'll do that. And after the interview, in case we go long for people on Blog Talk, the entire show will be available on archive, and Sherry and I will be taking questions or answering questions in chat also while the interview is going on. So here we go.
We have a very, very special guest today, Dr. Jonathan Wright from the Tahoma Clinic in Tahoma, Washington, and for all of you worldwide listeners, that is in the U.S. and the state of Washington. Dr. Wright is a well-known MD for his ideas about innovations in health, his stand for health freedom, and his gentle way with those who need his help. I first met Dr. Wright many, many moons ago, and I think we were both doing a recording at Laura Lee's show, or in her studio at least. Dr. Wright is an author, a radio personality, a lecturer, a physician, and a concerned human being. He's on the cutting edge of health and wellness, always. Welcome to the show, Dr. Wright.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry. And indeed, we are in Washington State, in the former headquarters city of the airplane company. That's Renton, Washington.
Okay. We will talk more about how people can get in touch with you and avail themselves of your services and your website. Don't want to forget that at the end here.
Thank you.
Dr. Wright, I fell in love with your books many years ago. I think you said they were published in the one I liked was in the 70s. And I got in so much trouble in school, in nutrition school, and dietetic school.
I bet you did.
Because you're telling me one thing and they're saying, nobody needs vitamins, we don't need any of this. I even got kicked out. I got suspended from the program over your book.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I have thrown away all the information I learned in school, and I have kept your book. It's kind of ragtagged by now. It was one of the first that came out that was hardback, so I have used it for many years and loved it, and it has helped me so much, not only look at nutrition and health, but to take a stand on what is good for us, and that nutrition is an incredibly important thing for health and wellness and prevention of disease, which is not what our health care system is about.
Not yet, anyway, but even if the health care system isn't, as we both know, more and more of all of us less educated people are coming around to it. After all, when even Walmart is selling organic food, there's got to be a lot of us interested.
Absolutely, and I think the people are coming around, too, to this is important, and they quit listening to the lies. There is so much out there that we shouldn't believe. What are some of the biggies that you've found in your research and just helping the thousands of people you work with at the Tahoma Clinic? What are some of the biggies that people need not pay attention to?
Well, unfortunately, Sherry, it seems that the large majority of pronouncements by, let's call them authorities, quote-unquote, have to be taken with a very, very large grain of salt, and much of the time, when you really examine it, they may think they're authorities, but they don't know what's really going on with human biochemistry and human body energies. And since we're all human, we hope anyway. Maybe there's a few space aliens around, but that's another program. And our bodies are derived from the materials of planet Earth and from the energies of planet Earth. It makes absolute sense that what's going to keep our bodies healthy are the materials and energies of planet Earth, if we can just figure out which ones we really need. And what are not going to help our bodies much at all is materials and energies that are not found on the planet. Now, I'll expand that just a little to point out that when we go to the doctor, even today, most of the time what we take home is a prescription for a molecule that never has been found on this planet. No kidding. It's a patent medicine. And some people say, what are you talking about, patent medicines? That's 19th century stuff. No, 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 no. The majority of what doctors prescribe either have a patent on them right now or they had a patent on them, because the law says that one cannot patent a natural molecule. So if you want to patent something, you have to patent a molecule that's never been found on the planet. No kidding. And that is what we get from mainstream healthcare practitioners. And the energies they use, oh my goodness, occasionally they'll use energies that are compatible or natural to the human body. But so often those energies are of a type that is dangerous to us. So one very basic point is, if we're going to keep bodies that are of this planet, natural substance, natural energy, as healthy as we can, we've got to stick with natural substances and natural energies. Another way of putting that, for some of the skeptical guys listening, is if you're going to fix your Ford truck, excuse me, you don't use Toyota parts.
A good point. I've heard so much about aspartame's fine and it's natural. Aspartame's not fine. It causes joint problems. What's the truth, Dr. Wright?
Oh, my. Aspartame is not at all good for us. It was originally developed not at all as a sweetener, but as an insecticide. Anybody want to put into their search engine on the computer aspartame fire ants, and what you'll learn is it's one of the best ant killers there is. But somebody noticed it was sweet, and so it got switched from one division of the patent medicine company to another. It actually causes problems with laboratory animals. So the Committee of Los Federales, which is sort of my name for the federal government there, the Committee of the Los Federales Division of FDA, actually did not approve it. It was a deadlock, and when it's a deadlock, they won't approve it. And so there's a little provision that says when it's a deadlock, the commissioner of that agency can step in and break the deadlock. And he did, and it was approved, even though it caused cancer in laboratory animals. And guess what? You can look this up online. It's all over, and it's not in some silly website. It's all the truth. It was in major newspapers. 4 to 6 months later, he resigned and took a job as head of the advertising agency for aspartame. Anyway, aspartame is very bad for us. There are many airlines who won't let their pilots use it because there have been pilots who've had seizures while flying.
We did a study here at the Institute on aspartame, and for some people, it doesn't bother at all. Like,
that's true.
2 out of 10. And the next guy, it just puts their brain in a fog and hurts their joints. And so I think they're finding those people that it doesn't affect, and that's what they're doing their studies on, because it just it has so many bad side effects.
And so do all of the other so-called artificial sweeteners. Now, there's really, really no excuse for that, and I think the big food companies are finally noticing, because we've all noticed that both of the largest soft drink companies out there have started adding, of all things, stevia to some of their soft drinks. And, of course, stevia is a totally natural sweetener, which, as you know very well, Sherry, has been in use in South America for several thousand years, never hurt anybody. So they finally are using it a little bit in their soft drinks, not in the majority of them, not at all, just in one or two little places. But as soon as they applied to Los Federales to get that approved, why, Los Federales, what did they do? They quit persecuting stevia importers. Before that, I have on file, right here, a letter written from a division director of the FDA division of Los Federales, who actually put on paper that he was going to come down to their place, seize all their stuff, and burn all their books. I'm not kidding you. But they're not doing that anymore, since those two very large soft drink companies have started using it.
So it's follow the money?
Gee, well, that's an original concept. I hadn't thought of that.
Actually, it's one of our listeners who say it all the time. His name's Richard, and every time we have somebody on where there's something absolutely atrocious going on, it's like, follow the money.
Yes.
So we should tell people that stevia is the only one. How about just natural raw sugar? Is that bad?
It's better than refined sugar, but it's still not good, because we tend to, since humans tend to have this thing called a sweet tooth, although it's actually a sweet taste bud, tend to eat too much of it. And if we're doing a little bit here and there, let me tell you an experiment that was done a long time ago. Jamaica children living in New York City, half of them got to chew on sugar cane, and the other half of them were just given an equivalent amount of sugar. Guess who did not get tooth decay? The ones who chewed on whole sugar cane. Guess who did get tooth decay? Well, the other group, of course, the ones who got the sugar.
So refining it and making it modern actually is detrimental.
Yes, and the whole sugar cane, you can imagine how much whole sugar cane anybody can chew on? Not that much. And not only that, it's very fibrous. And not only that, it carries all the other nutrients in the right proportions with that sugar that it has in it. But I just don't know of anybody who's selling whole sugar cane powdered up. I have seen certainly so-called raw sugar, but I still don't recommend it, because it has some of its nutrients stripped away.
So I can hear that there's a difference in the answers that conventional medicine, and I have a whole bunch of questions here, conventional medicine versus health and wellness, and they're not telling us the truth.
Let me tell you an outright lie, Sherry. I'm sorry to interrupt. But right now, television commercials are featuring people wandering through nature and proclaiming that why that stuff, that fructose is bad for you, is a complete lie, and that they've checked with the authorities, and our bodies can't tell one sugar from another. Now, that's on television, that fructose, refined, is just the same as any other sugar. Well, I have at least 24 medical journal articles that show that fructose is worse than any other kind of sugar, because fructose does more than any other sugar to raise levels of uric acid in the body and contribute to something called metabolic syndrome than even table sugar does. And it's right there in the medical journals, and yet we got these lies on television.
You do a newsletter, a monthly newsletter, for people that give them all of this information. Can you talk about this?
Oh, sure. I started writing that in 1993 or 4 or something like that. It happens to be called Nutrition and Healing. One can, if one wants to find out about it, go to our Tahoma, that's T-A-H-O-M-A, clinic website. Click over here for information about Nutrition and Healing. And what I do with that is write topics that I hope are of general interest to folks. And all of them are very, very much based on either my experience in nearly 40 years of medical practice or on let me tell you about one that came out last fall that I thought was something that could be of great use to a lot of people. What I did was to review a couple of medical journal articles, both published in 2008, which, to make this short, showed that an extract from whole plants, and some of these whole plants that contain this extract include Oregon grape and golden seal and something called Coptis chinensis, and there's about eight other plants that contain it. And the material is called berberine, and many of your listeners, I'm sure, have heard of it, because in herbal medicine, berberine has been used for years because it helps to get rid of bacteria that aren't good for us, and it actually helps to get rid of some fungi. Well, what these researchers found is that berberine, the same material, is just as effective as the number one patent medication that's used for type 2 diabetes, Sherry. And milligram for milligram, they had 500 milligrams of berberine three times a day versus 500 milligrams of this patent medicine, which happens to be called metformin. And the blood sugar control was just as good with this natural substance as it was with the patent medicine. And not only that, but the lipid control, cholesterol, triglycerides, etc., was better than with the patent medicine. And, of course, it's a natural molecule that has less side effects and so forth. I didn't say no side effects, but less. And look at how many people out there, unfortunately, have type 2 diabetes. So I thought it was a real breakthrough, and I put it right in the newsletter.
It's epidemic. There's another one that you have written about in this book that I love, Library of Food and Vitamin Cures.
Polycosanol?
Yeah.
That helped with lipids, and there's an update on that now?
Yes, there is. At the time that was written, we had been using, we being the doctors at Atoma Clinic, and there's 10 of us now, we had been using the polycosanol with good effect to help people lower the cholesterol when it couldn't be lowered just simply by altering the diet, which, by the way, does work in a large number of cases. But when that didn't, we'd use the polycosanol. But a year or two after that was written, polycosanol just quit working. And what we later discovered, because we were trying to figure out why it didn't work, was that there are apparently two entirely different sources of polycosanol, and nobody could tell us if we were getting material that was from the source that we were using originally or whether the other source had been substituted. What I mean by two different sources is not two different companies, but plant material sources, and nobody was willing to disclose what plant material they were using. And it continued not to work, so we just gave the stuff up. But if somebody needs to control their lipids, there are two things they can think about. One is if they happen to have type 2 diabetes in their family, it is very likely that if they put themselves onto a relatively high-protein, relatively low-carbohydrate diet, and if one does that and is eating more animal protein, then it should be as much free range as we can possibly get because of the correct balance of omega-3 fatty acids to omega-6 fatty acids in that. But anyway, a relatively high protein, relatively low carbohydrate diet, if we just stick with that, those of us who have type 2 diabetes in our families, the lipids will come under control, and we hardly ever need another supplement, just the diet program. However, that's only one-third the population that has type 2 diabetes in the family. And for the other two-thirds, sometimes a supplement is quite helpful, and there are a couple of things which have entirely replaced polycosanol and do very, very well for us. One of them is just good old fish oil. I read a nice review of over 80 studies on statins and on fish oil, and what was found was that if one takes a patent medicine called a statin, and we call the initial starting point 100%, that the cholesterol would go down to 68%. Pretty good. But if one took fish oil, and one usually has to take close to a tablespoon of the stuff, why, the cholesterol went down from that same starting point of 100% to 72%. So while it's true that the statin made the cholesterol go to 68% instead of 72% with the fish oil, so that's a little, quote, better, unquote, what did the rest of the review say? It then looked at the death rate among the people who took statins and the people who took fish oil, and the death rate was substantially higher, I should say significantly higher, among the people who took the statins compared to the people who took the fish oil. So even if the cholesterol didn't go down as much, people didn't die as much either. So, of course, we recommend the fish oil, being another one of those nice natural molecules. Then the other thing, of course, that's made the news is niacin in the time-release form. Mm-hmm. Of course, the short-acting causes a lot of people to get red and itchy and flushy and so forth. But in the time-release form, my, that drops cholesterol nicely, too, for a lot of people. And not only that, but here's an article published in the AMA Journal a little while ago, and it compared the thickness of the arterial wall when people took either statin patent medications or time-release niacin, and while the thickness of the arterial wall actually decreased in the people who took time-release niacin, it increased slightly in the people who took the statins. So once again, the natural substance did better than the patent medication.
Have you, just brings up all kinds of questions. In that week between Christmas and New Year, that's when they kind of slip things in. And a couple of years ago, as of December 28th, they slipped in the idea that Crestor is okay for anybody to take, even without a prescription, just in case something like high cholesterol might happen somewhere, sometime, and someone even suggested that they put it in baby food.
Oh, great.
The statins that you're talking about, can you name them so people will know what are some of the medicine names for it?
Well, actually, since I never prescribe them, Crestor is probably the only one I can remember, but you go right ahead and name any other ones that you can remember.
Well, I can't remember them either at the minute, but I will...
There's Lipitor. I forgot that.
Lipitor.
Lipitor, Crestor are two of the ones I can remember.
Well, don't they have a base of niacin to them anyway? I call them glorified niacin.
No, they don't have a base of niacin in them at all. If somebody ever put one together with niacin, maybe that would be it. But they don't have any base of niacin. The really bad thing about all of the Crestors, Lipitors, and statin drugs in general is that they are known, and I do mean known, and I'm not fooling, to deplete coenzyme Q10. In fact, Sherry, did you know that Merck and Company are the owners of two patents on combining statin drugs with coenzyme Q10?
No.
I've got those patent numbers in my computer. I looked them up online, and sure enough, it was invented by so-and-so and patented and then assigned to the Merck and Company because they know way back then, before they even introduced statins, that coenzyme Q10 is depleted, and that's the big reason why many people get the muscle pains and all that stuff. And to this day, they don't put coenzyme Q10 in with their statin drug, even though they own the patent. I would call that slightly irresponsible, but that's what they don't do. But worse than that, since the statins interfere with cholesterol synthesis, and since it's been discovered that cholesterol is synthesized not only in the liver, but also in the brain, where it goes to the normal repair process of brain cells, there is more and more evidence that chronic use of statins is going to lead to cognitive decline. In fact, there is a wonderful website out there called SpaceDoc, SpaceDoc.net. Now, not .com. The .com was captured by a patent medicine company, and so they're all in favor of statins. But SpaceDoc, because it was an astronaut, actually, who was also a doctor, .net, will give you citation, 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 reference, 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 as well as plain English discussion of how statins cause cognitive decline to accelerate over anything it would have been without them.
Isn't niacin good for Alzheimer's, too?
For Alzheimer's, you're thinking niacinamide, but you're right on with the vitamin B3, but it's the niacinamide form. Turns out that researchers at the University of California at Irvine have been the first to publish on that. They were working with genetically engineered mice, and if I were a mouse, I wouldn't like that done to me, but they managed to genetically engineer them, so they developed Alzheimer's disease just like humans. No kidding, with all the features of human Alzheimer's disease. And then they waited until they developed mouse Alzheimer's disease, although it was genetically engineered to be just like human. And how could they tell they had it? Because what rats do for a living in universities is they run mazes, you know. And these rats got to the point where they couldn't run the maze. And what's at the other end of the maze? Lunch. So the poor things were starving. And they biopsied the brain, and they looked under the microscope, and, oh, yeah, that looks just like human Alzheimer's disease. Well, then, even at that stage where they couldn't run the maze, they had them take niacinamide. Now, not niacin. Niacin won't do the same thing. It's niacinamide. We're close. And the quantity they had them take was the equivalent of the same amount that Abram Hoffer used for people with schizophrenia years ago, roughly a gram three times a day. In mouse terms, of course, on mouse weight terms. And much to their amazement, those little mice regained the ability to run that maze and find lunch within just a few weeks, and they biopsied their little mouse brains again. And look at that. There was a 40% or so decline in the accumulation of one of the types of garbage that leads to Alzheimer's disease. It's called tau protein. And what one of the researchers said to a reporter was, this is a real breakthrough, because when all that tau protein accumulates, it interferes with the communication within each nerve cell, not nerve cell to nerve cell, but within each nerve cell. And now that communication is restored. So apparently some of the rats' memory, I'm sorry, the mice's memories came back. Well, that set off a lot of excitement. And there's now a clinical trial in humans going on at UC Irvine, or at least they're recruiting. And there's another one going over in the UK. But those of us who've been using niacinamide for years for other reasons, for example, following A. Proffer's lead, it does help to reverse and stabilize people with schizophrenia if you catch them within 5 years of diagnosis. And it's one of the best things going to relieve all the symptoms of osteoarthritis. Niacinamide does that marvelously well. I'm just writing a newsletter article on that now. So we know how to use the stuff, so we work with the people who also have unfortunately started to develop Alzheimer's disease, and some of those people are stabilizing, and some have even regained some memory. Now, it's not an enormous number, it's not a controlled study, but we just took our clue from the mouse stuff. Yes, and for any of your listeners, Sherry, who have a friend or relative who's been diagnosed with early Alzheimer's disease, and of course the earlier we do this, the better, please get in touch with a doctor who is familiar with natural-type medicine. There are a couple of ways of doing that. One is acam.org. That's acam.org. And the other one is naturopathic. That's naturopathic.org. And find a doctor near you and get in to see them and ask about niacinamide and potential. We have to call it potential right now. Reversal of at least part of the Alzheimer's. There's a very good chance of stopping it cold, and also a good chance of reversing some of it with niacinamide, but there are a few precautions in using niacinamide, and it's best to work with a doctor who knows what they're doing with the stuff.
When you say tau protein, is it the T-A-U?
That's the one.
Okay. I have several other questions here that come to mind. Are you familiar with Medicure that took three natural forms of B6 and put it into one form, and that's now under their control?
I am familiar with that particular episode. I know that right now we can only get one active form of vitamin B6 in the natural food store, and that's pyridoxal phosphate, which is also short-named P5P. And there's a very other important active form of vitamin B6 called pyridoxamine. And that's the one where that patent medicine company you named put in what they called a citizen's petition to Los Federales. Now, what would happen if you or I put in a citizen's petition, Sherry? They'd laugh us right out of the place. But a big company can put in a citizen's petition to have the stuff declared approved by FDA, and the minute they approved it, guess what Los Federales also did? Why, they made it illegal to sell it in health food stores where it had been sold for the last 20 years with no problems. Oh, and by the way, the price went up a whole bunch. Imagine that.
So anybody could do a citizen's petition about something like this?
No, any patent medicine company can do a citizen's petition.
Oh, even though they're big pharma.
That's the way it goes. Nobody else has successfully done a citizen petition who was not able to afford a whole bunch of fees.
Well, they tell us it's about $6 million now.
$6 million what, ma'am?
Dollars to take something through the FDA.
Whoa, you're way off the mark. I read on the website of the Tufts University Center for the Study of Drug Development that the average approval by Los Federales at the FDA costs $800 million.
Oof, $800 million. None of us little guys have a chance.
None of us citizens. Mm-mm.
When did you first realize that the government and big pharma and big agriculture is just not about our health?
Well, you know, Sherry, what opened my eyes was when I was in college, actually, first year or two of college. I was kind of a young fella, but I could read. And I read Atlas Shrugged. And in there, Ayn Rand, the author, predicted a lot of the things. And because, remember, she wrote that book in the 50s, and she predicted a lot of the stuff that was happening when I was in college. Which was in the 60s, and I started looking around and with the, let's call it the lenses that she used in her book, and oh my goodness, it became so obvious.
But you still went to medical school?
Well, yeah, because I've been wanting to be a doctor since I was 8 years old.
Did you have that image of a country doctor, sweet, caring person?
Well, I don't know if anybody can call me sweet, but what I did have was the idea I wanted to be a family doc. That's true.
You know, we had a Dr. Tennant on doing interviews with him.
Oh, Jerry.
And he said one of the things, he sent one of his patients or ended up at the hospital and with a heart attack, but he had low blood pressure, and they tried to give him blood pressure medication because it was standard of care.
Oh, there's so much of that goes on, Sherry. I know what you mean.
Oh, that's crazy when you don't pay attention to the person and their symptoms, and you go to a regulation book and, okay, this symptom equals that.
Well, let me give you another standard of care that's just a scandal. I just heard it from somebody who just gotten out of the hospital. Now, he had had a problem with the lung collapse or something, and while they had him in the hospital, here comes the nurse, and she says, take this, and he says, what is it? Oh, it's an acid-blocking medication. And he says, excuse me, my stomach's fine. Oh, but it's regulation. You're supposed to take an acid-blocking medication because people in the hospital sometimes get stress ulcers in their stomachs. And he says, look, I've read about acid-blocking medications. They block out all the stomach acid so I can't digest any of this, even of the hospital food that you eat, that you're going to feed me. I can't digest it right. And I don't get my amino acids out, and I don't get my minerals out, and I can't get my vitamin B12 because the same cells that make acid make the combining factor that it helps to absorb B12. He says, that stuff's going to give me malnutrition. And so the nurse had a fit, called in the doctor. He still refused to take it, but it was, quote, standard procedure. Now, here's the even worse scandal, Sherry. I have a research paper from 35 or more years ago that showed how to prevent stress ulcers in the stomach. And what they were doing is working with people who'd just been in big car crashes, and this half over here got vitamin A, and that half over there didn't. And guess who didn't get stomach ulcers? The people who took the vitamin A, and the people who didn't, they got the stomach ulcers. So they could use vitamin A, but instead they're handing out acid-blocking patent medication.
Why? Is it back to the money?
Of course, because vitamin A is cheap, 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 cheap. And patent medication is expensive, expensive, expensive. Didn't you see the great commotion recently, which fortunately all of us out there, go guys, listeners to Sherry's program, I'm sure you did some of this, when Los Federales, quote, approved, unquote, to some company, they approved progesterone. How do you like that? A form of progesterone, which had previously been put together by compounding pharmacists, because it's totally natural and they can do that, at $10 an injection, and this stuff was for prevention of premature labor, and it works. Hey, it's progesterone. It's 17-hydroxyprogesterone, but anyway, it's natural. And they approved it, and this company wanted to charge $10,000 per dose. And there was an enormous outcry. all kinds of emails to the Congress, never mind emails to the FDA people. They don't pay any attention. They're not elected. There were a lot of emails and letters to the Congress. There were telephone calls. There were even senators, of all things, yelling and screaming about this. It was going to cost, instead of $10, it was going to cost $10,000. Well, FDA, Los Federales, backed down. And they said they wouldn't go after the compounding pharmacists after all. Because, you see, all the compounding pharmacists had gotten a letter from the patent medicine company that says, FDA is going to get you now that we have this approved stuff.
Oh, I want to ask you about compounding pharmacists in the middle in a minute, but I'm going to ask this question and just stand back because I think I'm going to hear a lot.
Uh-oh. I'll settle down.
What do you think about Obamacare?
Oh, dear. How about a moment of silence? Well, we all mourn our loss, our further loss of being able to take care of ourselves. And not only can we not take care of ourselves if that thing keeps up, but we're not going to be able to take care of ourselves at a much, much, much higher cost than if we could take care of ourselves without it.
If anybody's read it, I don't think they're letting it out there that this is rationed care.
Well, remember, we're not allowed to read the bill till it passes. You know, that's how our founding fathers intended things, that Congress should pass everything and read it later, right?
Hey, I did a vocal profile on Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get her on some niacin. She has strong indicators of Alzheimer's.
Aha!
It's no wonder she's acting the way she is. Oh, I don't even know if we're allowed to say that.
Oh, well, you can cross it out if you need to.
One of the things that Kathleen Sebelius, head of Health and Human Services, said, I love Obamacare because my children will be able to stay on my insurance policy through college. That makes Obamacare worth it for me. I mean, how can you look at one little thing like that and try to persuade somebody it's okay when all the rest of it is, okay, your kids in college can have care, but what about your parents?
Yeah, but remember, if she said anything else, she wouldn't have her job, would she?
Very, very true. Had she said anything else, and I really didn't look at that, I just, and that way, and look at her person, I just think she sold out.
Yeah.
Insurance companies, do they give you a lot of grief about the kind of care you provide?
No, they don't at all, and that's because after I read Atlas Shrugged, I decided that when I actually went into practice, which is still a few years down the road, that I wasn't going to take any third-party payers. No insurance companies, no government agencies, none of that stuff. Now, it took a lot longer to get established in practice because folks felt that we should, but now we have 10 doctors because, you see, doing what we do, we get results, and what people really want is results. And so there's another thing, too. And that is when people pay for their own health care, they're still thrifty consumers, aren't they? And they look for the means and methods that are the most effective for the least amount of money. And doesn't that keep the cost of health care down? Oh, my goodness, I'm just talking about free market competition. Imagine that.
Awesome. Do you think Obamacare is with us to stay?
I hope not. But the reason I think it's not, at least not in its present form, is because it is going to be a large part of bankrupting us all.
Yes.
And Congress is finally noticing that in both Republicans and Democrats, or maybe it's the other way around, I get them mixed up, that they can't spend all that money all the time. And they're actually trying to cut back.
We will know more about that tomorrow when the big vote comes in.
Yeah, we will. Now, before we get all the way through things, Sherry, I've got to compliment you on something, and that's your marvelous breakthrough with vocal profiling. Now, you taught one of our doctors how to do it, and she came back, and she says, let's try you. And I said, okay, fine, let's do it. And a couple days later, she comes around and says, you know, I'm getting something really weird on your vocal profile. I just want to make sure. She says, I'm picking up a vibration for the mineral cobalt. Now, that's not something that one would expect to pick up, and she would have no way of knowing. But a week before, in order to correct a little quirk in my biochemistry, I had started taking tiny doses of cobalt. And I never told her that.
It's awesome stuff. The body doesn't lie.
Yeah. So anyway, she just picked it up on the vocal profile, and I'm thinking, huh, that Sherry Edwards isn't fooling.
Well, thank you. That's a wonderful compliment coming from you. I'm getting chills and smiles all over about that.
You deserve it.
Thank you. We have about 10 minutes or so left, and I want to talk about your new book. I think it has a lot to do with our health and how well we age and our quality of health. It's just come out, Stay Young and Sexy with Bioidentical Hormone Replacement. So what's the difference between hormone replacement and bioidentical replacement? How can people get it? How
okay.
wonderful is it?
And notice the subtitle says, The Science Explained.
Yes.
Now, the publishers want to sell the book, so of course they had to put that Stay Young and Sexy title on there, and that part's true, too. But we also base it on very, very firm science. What it talks about is something that we all know about, namely, that when we're young and we got lots of hormones, whoa, we're feeling good, and indeed we're feeling sexy. And as we get older, our hormones decline. Now, to answer your question more directly about the difference between so-called hormone replacement, which you just called conventional hormone replacement, but I always put it in quotes, and bioidentical hormone replacement, so-called hormone replacement, conventional hormone replacement, does not replace hormones. Let's start right there. What it does is it takes horse hormones and puts them into people. And that makes no more sense than putting Toyota parts into your Chevy truck. It also takes a space alien molecule never found on the planet before. It's not even respectable enough to be found in horses, called medroxyprogesterone, which was only invented because it could be patented because it's never been found on the planet. And so it put horse hormones and this space alien molecule into women, human women, not space alien women, and it was called hormone replacement. Now, how can we ever expect that to do anything but fail? And that's what it did. Now, of course, it's since been sorted out. Even though all the science writers apparently can't read, and for years the science writers were saying, oh, estrogen bad, estrogen bad. Excuse me, it wasn't estrogen, it was horse estrogen, it wasn't human estrogen. There's some overlap between horse and human, but they do not overlap perfectly at all. But they were blaming it on estrogen, and they didn't notice, if they really read the studies carefully, that it was the medroxyprogesterone which caused most of the problem. And that stuff is a space alien molecule, and so no wonder it does. It causes that much problem. It doesn't belong in beings that are resident on this planet. Okay, so recently, as you've noticed, Sherry, folks are trying to rehabilitate horse hormone estrogen. And there was something that just came out and made a big splash yesterday or today. Oh, estrogen is actually good for some women. But if you read the details, they're talking about horse hormones again. And the horse hormones have in them compounds called equilins, which are actually carcinogenic in humans. Now, they're not carcinogenic in horses, but that's where they came from, so you'd expect that. Now, bioidentical hormone replacement, which I had the accidental honor to have put together first in the United States, a complete program of identical to human estrogens, identical to human progesterone, identical to human testosterone, DHEA, etc. Although, by the way, Sherry, bioidentical hormone replacement was actually first done, as far as anybody can find, in China in the 11th century, and I'm not kidding you. We can go into that some other time. But anyway, bioidentical hormones use molecules which are precisely identical to what human bodies make. And as long as we use molecules that are identical to what are in our bodies, and we don't use more or less than what belongs in our bodies, and if we put it into our bodies through the appropriate route of entry into the bloodstream, which doesn't mean shots, it just means rubbing it on, then we are least likely to get into trouble because these things are in the right quantity at the right time. Oh, the right timing. I forgot the right timing. We have to copy a woman's own usual cycle. So it's the right stuff at the right time, in the right place, all of that. If we copy nature, and that is a key thing, if we copy nature in all of that, we're least likely to get into problems. Now, I've been recommending and prescribing bioidentical hormones since it was me at a compounding pharmacy in Vancouver, British Columbia, called Cripps Pharmacy, was filling them. And now there are 2,000-3,000 doctors around the United States and at least several hundred compounding pharmacies that fill those prescriptions. But the stuff isn't patentable, so, gee, I could have got rich, but no one doesn't get rich that way. There are more, what shall I say, respectable ways to do it. And when we use the bioidenticals, oh, just ask any woman who's having menopause symptoms how she feels a week after she starts her bioidentical hormone replacement. She's back to her old self. She says that every time. The depression's gone, the moodiness is gone, et cetera, et cetera. So all those menopause symptoms can be completely controlled just by bringing the levels of the bioidentical hormones back to exactly where they were before the menopause started. Another thing that's equally important, they're not just for menopause or for guys who are going through the decline in their testosterone, and all us guys know that guys' hormones decline too. It's just it's a lot slower and takes more years, but then guys have always been slower than ladies. What can I say? At least that's what my wife tells me. So anyway, the big other area besides relief of symptoms of menopause and what's now called andropause is that it is nailed down that we can reduce our risk of Alzheimer's disease dramatically by simply using bioidentical hormones. Estrogens for ladies, testosterone for guys. No kidding. And we can also reduce our risk of cardiovascular disease dramatically. Estrogen for women and testosterone for guys. And we can reduce our risk of osteoporosis, not quite as dramatically as the first two, the Alzheimer's and the cardiovascular disease. It's all in the book. All the documentation with all the footnotes for people who are into footnotes is in there. And I forgot one that's pertinent only to ladies, and that is estrogen supports lung health after menopause. Guys don't, testosterone does not necessarily support their lung health after their testosterone goes down near as much as estrogen does for ladies. Now, I'm not just blowing air here like some of our people in Washington, D.C. do all the time.
I like that, D.C.
Well, that's what it's called, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because that's where they do an operation on the taxpayers that's every bit as bloody and painful as a real DNC.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that every time they pass one of those Obamacare bills.
One of the things I like about this book is that right in the front, you can go take a test and see if you need these bioidentical hormones.
Yes, you can. Let me finish up with the ladies, though, because ladies need to know this, especially ladies who are athletes and want to continue doing their athleticism after the menopause. I will quote for you, not blowing hot air, the Lung Research Institute of Georgetown University, led by two doctors by the name of Massaro. What they have found is that estrogen specifically makes the enzyme that exchanges oxygen for carbon dioxide work better.
Mm.
Yes, and not only that, estrogen keeps the lung tissue from deteriorating as rapidly as it otherwise does in women after menopause. A little-known fact that I got from the doctors Massaro is that if people have never smoked, people of either gender, no smoking allowed here, for every one man who, despite no smoking, gets chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, otherwise called COPD,
mm-hmm.
there are eight ladies who get COPD.
What a great connection.
Yes, that's because their estrogen has declined so dramatically. And they get COPD, and this is among non-smokers. Now, among smokers, it's about equivalent because they messed up their lungs with all that smoke. So if a woman wants to be an athlete, exercise, run, do whatever she wants to do athletically after menopause, she better think about estrogen because her lung capacity is going to go down. And one other one, and then I promise to shut up, and that is vocal quality is maintained among singers. If they're women, if they take estrogen, and if they're men, if they take testosterone, look at folks. All of our voices change when we go into puberty, don't they? Sure. And what did that? The hormones. We all know it's the hormones. So why don't we understand that when our hormones declined, our vocal quality is going to get less and less? Now, no, our larynxes aren't going to get smaller, but Sherry, you and I have both heard people talking on the phone or over the radio. We can tell that person's 80, can't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Just by the vocal quality. And so you, with what you do with vocal cord analysis, I should say sound vibration analysis, Sherry, you can probably tell without even a blood test or a urine test or any other kind of test when a person would benefit from hormones, bioidentical.
Absolutely. The program's called The New Woman.
There you are.
And it has all the hormones in it, and we can tell. We can look at that. We also have one called Rejuvenation, and we look at male hormones as well. When I looked up your book, this wonderful Stay Young and Healthy with Bioidentical Hormone Replacement, The Science Explained, most people on Amazon, I think there was a couple, but most people gave it a 5-star rating.
Well, that was nice, ma'am.
One lady named Mary, best book yet on BHRT, most comprehensive I've ever read, and a must-have for any perimenopausal and beyond. I think I knew it once I read many other books and felt that I was really almost there in my replacement quest, but this book is written by a doctor who started it and is by far the most comprehensive. The cover and title are kind of gimmicky.
True.
I think it's just there to catch your eye. But the content is phenomenal and extremely informative. If you want a book by a real expert with extensive tips and knowledge, this is the one.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for reading that.
But I have more questions.
Go for it.
Do people have to come and see you, or is this something that they can send in some blood and get done, or they have to travel to Washington to see you, or how's this done?
Oh, not at all. In fact, ladies know when their hormones go down. I mean, menopause is menopause, and everybody can tell. So for women, woman comes in and says, I'm going through, or I'm completed menopause. We just say, here's some conservative quantities of hormones, and of course it's all in a pattern. How long was your menstrual cycle, and so forth. It's all in a pattern that matches that lady. And then we have her do a test a couple of months later to make sure we didn't use too much, we didn't use too little, but we got it just right. And of course, that's the test. We also pay attention to how the woman's feeling. With guys, though, guys' hormones decline so slowly that, yes, we do want to do a test first, and that is a simple blood test. Now, having said that, all the doctors who are in that acam.org on that website, of all those doctors, 90% of them list bioidentical hormones after amongst their credentials. And amongst the naturopathic doctors, there's a little problem there, and that is only the western states, Washington, Oregon, California, as far as I know, allow them to do a complete job with bioidentical hormones. So one would have to rely on the doctors in acam.org, but that can be anywhere in the country, and they are anywhere in the country. So no, you don't have to come see us. Just look online and find a doc and go on in.
Well, if we have our doc take our blood and we send it to you, then you have a pharmaceutical compounding company, or you have a pharmacy there that...
No, we don't actually have a pharmacy. We work with compounding pharmacies, but we're not quite to that stage yet where we can have a pharmacy. Now, what we do, though, is one other thing. We do have a laboratory, and that is a fairly large laboratory, and it does urine testing, collecting all the urine for 24 hours, and then a little bit of that is put into a test tube in a padded envelope and mailed into the laboratory. We've been doing that since we started in the 1980s because I wanted to keep this safe as it can be. And I'm not going to call that perfect safety because nothing's perfect safety, but it comes close. So people send those in, and the analysis is done. The reason for the urine specimen is that we can test some of the metabolites in urine that we cannot test in blood. There's just not the technology available. And secondly, it keeps the cost down. The report has about 35 or so different steroid molecular species, which doctors who do this learn how to interpret. And for that, it's about $10 a piece. It would cost thousands if even part of it was done in blood. And one other thing is our lab has doctors who work for the lab, so that doctors who haven't done this sort of testing before can consult with our doctors who know all about the test at no extra charge.
So how would people start this? Just call your clinic and say...
Yeah, you could call the laboratory and say, where's a doctor near me who knows how to use your kind of testing? And the laboratory is called Meridian Valley Laboratory, and they can find that online too.
But they could also buy your book and take this test online.
That they could do.
Take StayYoungAndSexy.com, and you get a score, and that'll tell you whether you're in trouble or not.
Yes, that's a questionnaire-type test. It has enough symptoms on it that it's pretty good at telling whether you could benefit from bioidentical hormones.
Well, I am certainly going to get in touch with you. Even though my score was 21, I'm 64, and I am so absolutely lucky I did not have one symptom of menopause.
Yay, that is unusual.
Just my menses stopped, and I think I was 58, because it was about 5 years ago. And just that was it. And I did have a couple of cold flashes, but I never had any hot flashes.
Well, you are in many ways unique, Sherry.
So are you, Dr. Wright. I really appreciate you being on the show. It's incredible that you're on the planet and helping all of us find out more, be more, enjoy life more.
Well, you too.
So thank you. And we'll certainly have you back anytime you want to be on the show and talk about anything that's going on in your clinic.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for having me on your show today.
It's incredible.
All righty then.
I'm putting
well,
up
that was,
some numbers.
That was a great, great interview. He is such a fountain of information.
I think some people enjoyed it in spite of the sound problems. And I've offered
well,
to
for
send...
Well, for the people on WebEx, if there's because they're still hearing us on WebEx, you can also get the complete show after we're done here. And also for those that are still listening on the phone on Blog Talk Radio, after we're done and the whole show is actually done, the complete show will be available for listening or download at Blog Talk Radio. And you can also find that find the link for that at the soundhealthoptions.com website.
I want to give Dr. Wright's contact information. Dr. Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. And it's the Tahoma, T-H-A-O-M-A, Clinic. Clinic is in Pacific time zone. They're open 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. Phone number 425-264-0059. And when you call in, they will assign you a doctor to work with you directly. Olivia Franks is the one that we train, that is with Dr. Wright. So if you want to do some bioacoustic comparison while you're doing all of this, we'd love to see that data. Here's my voice today. I turned in my stuff. Here's what they recommended. Here's what was really going on. So that's especially for our bioacoustic practitioners that are online with us. Richard put all of that interview together. I tried to do the recording because Dr. Wright couldn't be available at this time, and I had to use two computers, and I think it took him hours. I think it took Richard hours to put together an hour piece of trash that I sort of did. So thank you, Richard, for putting in all that extra time. He's not going to say a thing about how awful it was.
No, no, I was muted, actually. I was saying something. What I was saying is it was an adventure putting it together.
I love
Fortunately, because I know his work and I'm familiar with what he's talking about. It helped a lot, but it was definitely a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm sorry, Richard. Won't happen again. I loved it, what he said about our stuff. Coming from him, who... He's an absolute leader in the alternative health field. And so to hear that from him, that he respects, honors, and appreciates our work, that was pretty amazing.
That was excellent. That was a really great compliment he gave you. And I thought it was so perfect that it worked out in that way of, you know, the practitioner you trained coming to him and going, there's something askew in your vocal print, and here's what it is, and to have him have that immediate confirmation. That's such a perfect, kismet of action for him to get the demonstration right away. That was excellent.
Carol, I have opened your mic so that you can talk if you'd like. Let me see if you even have a mic. I may have to steal a mic from somebody else to give it to you. assign mic, pass the mic. Okay.
I'm not using mine.
Carol, you have a mic. Go ahead, unmute your mic. You have a question? Carol?
Was that Carol Tragash?
Yes.
I don't know that she's actually... She might have a mic. I know who that is.
You might have to hold down your control key to be able to talk to us. But if you do, you won't be able to hear us. We'll only be able to hear you. Oh, she's come in again.
Oh, that's Carol Cooper. Carol Cooper that came
Carol
in.
Cooper. Oh, sorry. Carol, right at the end of this, Carol has volunteered to help any of you who might need help with doing any of the invoice or the guardian. Carol, do you want to put up a... Carol Cooper, do you want to put up your email address or some way for people to get in touch with you? Maybe on the chat here? Just address it to everybody. Carol Tragash, you have your hand up. I will go back and put up the whiteboard so that you could type out your question because you're having trouble here. Let me go back and do that. And I will have to assign the privilege so that you can type on the board and annotate, say, assign. Okay, I'm going to put up a whiteboard. So, Carol, you could go up to the letter T, the big letter T, click on that, and go down to the white space, and then you can type there. Oh, she took her hand down, so maybe that was an accident. She put her hand up.
Probably just an accident.
But I love when people ask questions. This is good. Okay, any of the rest of you want to ask a question, just go down the bottom there where the list is and say raise hand, click on that little button. Or you could always write to me if you want, or Richard. Richard, you want to put your email address up for everyone? I should have put it down here in the chat.
I'll put it up for everyone, sure.
We do evaluations for you, but we'd lots rather teach you to do it for yourself. There's Carol Cooper's address going up. There's Richard's going up. So we thank you for listening, and sorry about the sound. I hope you can get a better recording from the archives. It usually takes them, what, an hour or so to get that up, Richard?
About an hour or so. And I would think, because I was listening to the entire thing through Blog Talk, and the quality of the audio was quite good. So for those that want to re-listen to the show or hear the replay or make notes, because Jonathan does rattle off a bunch of really great information fast, that the entire show will be available. If you go to soundhealthoptions.com and click on the Blog Talk link up there, you can go to that link, and that will take you to the replay of the show where you can either listen to it, and also if you wanted to download it, you could do it directly from there. And the quality should be very good.
Yeah, I'm showing it up on the... I think I'm showing it. Share my desktop. Share number two, where they can go and catch about the show here.
Right. Excellent.
I think that's what I'm showing. Okay.
Yes, that's what you're showing. We're seeing the screen at Sound Health Options, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. Thank all of you
for
listening.
Thank you.
And if you go back and listen to the archives, it counts as some kind of number crunching that Blog Talk does. And if we get enough number crunching good numbers, they'll put us up as a featured show.
This was a great show.
I'm hoping to have more. Moonstone sent me I can't remember his name, Bigelson, and about how the government and is really trying to suppress good doctors like Dr. Wright. about 20 years ago, they busted into his Tahoma clinic. Now, the door opened out, but they busted it in and even held their Xerox repair person on the floor at with long guns.
They were in full flak jack. They were in full, like, SWAT team reconnaissance, door kicking, hut, you know, drop to the floor now kind of attack mode.
And what they came in and took was vials of B12.
That evil, dreaded B12. I believe they all took all his records, also all his client files and everything, and eventually gave them back, but he had to, like, start completely over.
I think it was a lesson for the FDA, though, because so many people came to his rescue that they knew, you now have an active microphone. What is that saying? Everyone came to his rescue.
To his support. It was an amazing outcry when that happened.
The sound may have gone off at Blog Talk. Maybe that's what Moon is saying here. I was distracted.
Yeah, the Blog Talk radio feed has stopped. The live feed has stopped, but the archive and everything we're doing right now will be recorded and available upon replay.
Okay, he said niacin, just straight niacin, is the answer to Wendell's question, for any kind of cholesterol, clog up your artery kind of thing. And niacinamide, which is just a different form, they're both notes of B. Niacinamide was for the Alzheimer's. Moonstone, she just lost sound. Carol Cooper says yes. TJ says yes, he lost the sound. I lost sound too. Wow, I didn't turn sound off, so.
No,
I
it's
guess
because it's the live feed at Blog Talk for people who are listening to any of those streams goes away, but we're still being recorded. So the whole thing will be available.
I'll put that up here.
That's cute, TJ. No sign language. Actually, I'm doing it in classic Marcel Moiseau style over here. You just can't see it, TJ.
Okay. We don't have a camera.
Right. Thank heaven.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here. And for those practitioners, I'll see you in a few minutes on the next workshop.
Thanks very much. It was a great show. Thanks again. Bye, everybody.
Bye.